seconds in the toaster. I got my raspberry jam. My grandpa was a sailor, and he came into this land, and he was looking for gold, a pretty hand to hold, some cards to fold. At least that's what I've been told. My TV, they got talking heads in space. It used to be so easy to have a little faith. I used to rely on luck to earn an honest buck. I didn't feel so stuck. I didn't limp around like John. Have hope. Now we got soap on a rope. We used to have dreams. Now we got overpaid baseball teams. We got grocery baggers, graffiti taggers, golf ball shaggers. Go team, go. On my door, she's got that payday face. I swear to God, she should be paying me to live inside this place. It's filled with sharks and fins, with double chins who say, thicken your skin, child, if you wanna win. Fix myself some herbal tea, 'cause it's healthier, they say. Well, healthier ain't half as fun. I'll take a cold beer any day. I used to have dysfunctional fun in the cancerous sun, with my codependent hun, eating greasy, greasy hot dogs on a buttered up.
That's Steve Poltz with the song Silver Lining from the album One Left Shoe. We're at Folk North, which is the export conference for Folk Music Canada. I'm Jan Hall for Folk Roots Radio, and I get to talk to Steve Poltz because I got to say, this guy is one of the best live acts you can ever see. He crowd surfs, which is pretty amazing considering these days he plays mostly folk festivals, but he is a very engaging live performer. He's also a very provocative and engaging recorded performer. He also has this wonderful claim to fame, which everybody seems to remind him of, the fact that he was the co-writer of Jewel's hit You Were Meant For Me back in the day. But he's built a career beyond that, which is the exciting thing. And no kidding, I think you... Are you ever at home, Steve Poltz?
I am every once in a while. I come home and I'm able to do laundry and I... you know, get some new guitar strings and stuff and pay some bills, but I can do that online now, and sleep. Usually when I come home, I catch a cold and then I leave again, so I'm just in bed the whole time. It's like my body's defenses go down. There was this book by Steve Martin called Born Standing Up, and it's really good, and you can get it with him reading it as well on Audible, which is kind of cool to hear his voice. And he talks about how the body must make some sort of crazy vitamins that keep you from getting sick when you're on the road, because you tell yourself, I can't get sick. I have a show. I have to be here. I've got sound check. I've got a show. The next morning, I've got a radio appearance. Then I've got to be in another city. I've got to catch a flight. So when you come home and your defenses finally relax, that's when you get sick. And so he wants to find out what the chemical is the body makes and bottle that.
You are Canadian and from California. I don't say from the U.S. anymore.
Okay.
I prefer from California. Home is now in Nashville. How is that working out for you?
It's really good. Now, I lived in San Diego like 30 years near the beach, so I do miss the ocean. Jan, may I call you Jan?
Yeah,
you can call me Jan. And I miss the ocean, but I'm in Tennessee, in Nashville. It's kind of weird because I live in a red state, but it's a blue city in a red state. And I really love living in a music town. I've never really lived in a town that is so based around music. I always thought I'd end up in Austin, which is probably my favorite city in the U.S., but I've always been a Southern California guy, and here I am in Nashville, and I'm loving it. Like, they're everywhere I go, it's a musician, and I live in a neighborhood that's really neat in East Nashville. Go to a coffee house every day, and I run into people, and I'm with people that are of my ilk, doing the same thing that I'm doing, and touring nationally all over the place, and we're able to bounce ideas off of each other. So I find for the next 5 years, it's going to be good.
And it was the plan to move to Nashville for your career? I mean, it was a choice of Nashville or Austin then? Or that's kind of the two places you were mostly thinking about?
You're giving me too much credit. I don't plan things out well. Yeah. I never have. I'm really spontaneous. And what happened was the place I was living in, it got sold. My girlfriend sold her business and she sold the place we were living in. And it was a tiny little condominium, like in Little Italy of San Diego. I'm talking like 850 square feet with a view of a parking lot and one parking space. We had two cars, and you would almost have to get in fist fights on the street to get a parking space. That was like a perfect space that you could leave it there overnight. And so she got offered a lot of money for this condo she bought back in 2011. It was crazy, like doubled her money. And then we had no place to live. And I had this idea, well, let's just live in a Sprinter van and just be vagabonds, kind of almost like Albert Brooks in the movie Lost in America, if you recall that movie from back in the 80s. And then I woke up in the morning, I was like, what am I thinking? I really want a place to live. So I just happened to be going to Nashville to play a show, and she said, well, let me hop on the flight with you. And then we said, well, let's get a realtor just to see what we can get. And we ended up getting a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house for less money than it cost to sell a condo that was tiny with no view. And now we have, you know, a 2-car garage. I have a room that I use for co-writes. So it wasn't planned. And I just thought I could live in Nashville for a few years. Why not?
You know, I was expecting you to tell me something a little bit more bohemian, but this sounds like it's Nashville suburbia you've moved into.
Yeah. We got a big house and it's kind of cool. I'm not living in a commune or anything. Yeah. No, I'm actually in a real house with a laundry room and a room that I do co-writes in. And I've never owned a house before. So this is my first time at home ownership. Yeah. She owned the house before, so.
And she's pretty happy for you to come and go, because I imagine, I mean, what do you play, what, 200 dates a year or something like that?
Yeah, about 220, I'd say, which means if I say 220, a lot of those are festivals, which include 5 performances within the festival. So she travels with me usually, and she's with me most of the time. She's not here for this. She gives up every once in a while just because you're crazy.
Break. Yeah.
And I knew that would happen.
Let's talk about the recorded Steve Pultz. We'll talk a little later about, you know, the live performances and the fact that if you've not seen a Steve Pultz show, you certainly need to get out and see one, because then you will become a fan and then you'll spend your time trying to find out when you can get your next Steve Pultz fix. But let's talk about your recorded work, because one of the things I love about your music is that it's incredibly thought-provoking. I mean, you really engage the listener. I mean, you love to put humor into your songs. You also like to bring in serious messages and maybe wrap them up in humor. Tell us a little bit about the way you go about songwriting.
Well, it's been an ongoing journey, and I just stumble into it. I really believe I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm still shocked that people show up at my performances and they're there and they're buying merch. It amazes. I'm still giddy that I get to do this, and I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, hey, we were just kidding. Turn the lights on. Like, I feel like I'm getting away with something I shouldn't be getting away with. And it's kind of, I'm still looking at this business wide-eyed with wonder. And I've been doing it for 30 years. I've been on the road. And I still can't believe I get paid for doing this. Like, I discovered in the third grade I could go for the talent show and play guitar. And that instantly I had all these people around me. And I thought, this is all I got to do? You know, play some songs. So getting back to your questions, the recorded side and songwriting, I just stumble into things and I feel like a song will just come to me, or I'll co-write a song. And I don't really plan anything out. I don't plan shows out. But I've been able to get this body of work now that I have a lot of songs and I'm able to play these shows. And so what I try to do is I make each show almost like a painting, and each song is a color. And I'm looking for shade and light and all different things in the show to have some sort of an arc and a journey. And sometimes I succeed at it and sometimes I don't. And then when I don't, I work on it in my head that night when I'm asleep in bed. I think about it. I wake up to go pee at 3 a.m. and I go, you idiot, why did you do that? And then I make an adjustment. So I'm always constantly correcting and adjusting.
Does that mean that you like to try out new songs perhaps live before they necessarily make it onto an album? I mean, is that something
always
that works for you?
Always. I always have to do something new. Like, example, last night on the drive out, we hit traffic. We had 2 hours. I was playing somebody's house in Bowmanville. On the way out, I listened to Bob Dylan sing the song Not Dark Yet off of his album Time Out of Mind. And my friend, rest in peace, Jimmy LaFave, used to do a great cover of that song. And I thought, man, this is such a special song. I've always loved this record of Dylan's, Time Out of Mind. And so I listened to it about 100 times in a row, and poor Liz Scott was in the car, and she didn't even question it. I just kept listening to it. And then when I got there, I thought, you know, Dylan must be doing this in the key of E. I didn't have a guitar on me, but it sounded like E. So I started figuring it out in E, and then I thought, oh, I can get on the internet. And sure enough, it was an E. But I like the shape of a G chord in the first position, so I want it to be an E. So I capoed the guitar up on the 9th fret, thus making a G chord shape in the first position. That's actually an E chord. And I was able to hit the notes that I wanted. And then I thought, I'm going to do this as my third song tonight. And I only practiced it once backstage, and then I had somebody hold the words, and I got up because I was sleepy. And the body makes its own drugs. And so I needed a drug. I needed a shot. And I'm sober. I'm a sober musician now, 13 years. So I needed that drug to wake me up, because I just wasn't feeling like I was fully invested in the house concert. And I never want to phone in a show. And I knew if I did something I was worried about, it would give me the adrenaline infusion that I so needed. So I did it as my third song. And it was like, Shadows Have Fallen. Oh, man. And it was, you know, it's getting dark.
That's such a cool story, because I mean, basically, it's like, if you feel like the show's not going quite the way you want, you really have to find a way to mix it up, to try
always
it. So, I mean, I sense that one of the things that's really important to you in your life is to live in the moment and be authentic, and try and take that into everything you do. That must be challenging as you become more well known. I mean, I mentioned earlier on, you work really hard, you gig a hell of a lot, but I also see you getting rave reviews everywhere you play. But that also must lead to the point where you may end up taking shows that don't quite fit you quite as well as the earlier ones. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
I think it is. I try to make each show special for what it is. And I think I used to say, man, that was a boring audience, or that audience was dead. And then I learned, no, every audience has that key within them. You just need to find it. And I think the word that you mentioned that was that really fit was authenticity. And people want something real today. Look, we're bombarded with news. We're bombarded with different political views. Everybody's offended about something today on the right or the left. Everybody's mad at each other. And we're hit with this constant 24-hour news cycle. Now, when I was a kid, I used to just go out and play baseball in the yard, and we didn't have a 24-hour news channel, CNN or Fox News. We didn't have the internet, and I would go out and I'd play till the sun went down, and I'd hear my mom yelling for dinner's ready, and I wouldn't want to come in till the last minute. My knee would be bleeding. I didn't care what had happened. I was with my friends, and I think, you know, we still got to establish this community. And look, this, I think Barack Obama said it best the day after Trump was elected. He said, the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and the sun will set. It's slow glacial change. And we've seen a lot of good changes in our country with LGBTQ rights, stuff that we would have never had. And I grew up with a tremendous sense of gayness in my home because my mom's brother, Uncle Louis, being a gay man from Cape Breton, he moved down to see us in the early 60s because he was not welcome there, you know. That was like Brokeback Mountain type stuff that was happening. And so a lot of this stuff was on the down low. And he was able to live as an open life in Southern California. And he would bring home, you know, a boyfriend at Christmas. And I loved that. And he's a genius piano player, my uncle. He died a couple years ago. And we would sing show tunes. And he would dress me up like Oliver. And, you know, I was raised with this. And I think it's very important. And so for me, it was natural. But for other people, I understand, you know, you had Anita Bryant at the time railing against homosexuality and that it was a sin. And I get it. You know, we all put on different shoes in the morning. And we all see the world through different eyes. And it's really important for us to remember to sometimes you've got to have empathy, even if it means empathy with somebody who's a hardcore right wing, different than you are. I shouldn't even say what they are, just somebody whose political beliefs are so different than yours. And there's this movie by the Coen brothers called A Serious Man. And in that movie, the guy wants to see the older rabbi, and he can't get in to see him. It's like getting a table at the nicest restaurant, and he keeps getting put with the young rabbi. And the young rabbi gives him the best advice, and he sits down and he says, look out the window. See that, the parking lot? You've got to look at the parking lot with new eyes. And to me, that was beautiful. And so sometimes you just need an adjustment, and you need to have empathy. That's what it is. And people want to be heard. And so I want my shows to have a sense of community and some sort of sense of redemption. And at the end, maybe everybody leaves, and for that one little moment, they weren't thinking about the troubles in their lives. And if I can do that, I did my work.
It's like that Proust quote, you know, the real voyage of discovery is not seeing new places, it's having new eyes. You know, you're looking at the thing that may be right in front of you, but you've not actually looked at that way before. I want to talk about the song that we first played, Silver Lining, which isn't from your current album, Folk Singer. It's actually from One Left Shoe, which was that the album before that one?
No, that was a major label release. That I was in a crazy punk rock band called the Rugburns, kind of punky folky. And I got a record deal with Mercury Universal Records back in like 1997, 98. And they had a huge hit that you mentioned with Jewel. So that got me a record deal with a major label. I'm talking a huge budget. I was the last one, like catching the train as it was pulling out of town before we got completely digitized. So I wrote that song with Jewel. It's called Silver Lining. And I think it's got a really cool vibe. And I recorded it at Ocean Way Studio, where the Beach Boys did Pet Sounds. I think it's like Studio B. And I had these all-star cast of musicians like Jim Keltner on the drums. David Kemper played drums on another one. He played with Jerry Garcia with Dylan and all these great musicians. And it's a cool sounding record. We did it on 2-inch tape. And it's got its own vibe. I'm younger.
And you still play that one live?
I do, Jan. It's in D, A, D, F sharp, A, D. So it's in a nice open tuning. It's rich sounding. And it brings me back to when I was writing it with Jewel. It's got a really neat hook to it. And yeah, I do play it live. Not all the time, but I do play it.
It's interesting because you picked that song to play first.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been into it again. I've re-fallen in love with it.
That's kind of cool because, you know, typically when we do these interviews, it's like, okay, well, pick three songs off your latest album or,
right.
You know, things that, you know, and I sense that a lot of these songs, as it's clear, speak to you. And, you know, you haven't played them for a while. We're going to take a break with another song, and you've selected Mother Russia from the Folk Singer album. And I thought, okay, this is going to be an interesting story. Why did you want us to play this song?
That song starts off the whole record that I have called Folk Singer. And there's something, I just wrote the song because I was in a songwriting group with people where we had songs that were due every 24 hours. And somebody would say, okay, write a song. And somewhere in the song, you have to say Chinese vacation. Somewhere in the song, you have to say raining gravel. And so that would inspire us to write a song and record it and email it into each other in 24 hours. So somebody suggested Mother Russia, And these words just instant, the song wrote itself for me. And it turned out to be one of my favorite ones right now to play live. There's something about Mother Russia, where have you been? I've been walking kind of tender on needles and pins. And it's just got this cool vibe. So yeah, I like opening shows with it because I find it's recognizable, and people that bought that record, kind of, you watch them kind of elbow each other and go, oh, cool, I know this song.
It's kind of cool because obviously with the current political situation, which we don't need to get into, I'm sure everybody listening to this show knows all about that. It must create a lot of interesting conversation. And one of the things you love to do when you play live is talk to the audience. I mean, it must be a good way of loosening people up when you play this song.
It is. And I love, like you said, I love to talk and I like to tell stories, even about what happened that morning. There's always something interesting that happens on the road. No matter where I go, I could be in the Midwest, in Iowa, something strange is going to happen where I will come out on stage and say, so this happened today. But they don't even know I'm about to tell them about what happened. I just want it to be conversational and stumble into some good story out of it.
I should put a plug in for your Facebook as well, if you have space for any extra Facebook friends, but you do write wonderful stories on Facebook as well, which is definitely worth checking out if you want to follow Steve Poltz online.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that we get to do this, because in the old days, we would have to come up with these postcards that told where our gigs were, and then we'd have to put stamps on them and get a bulk mailing rate and send them all out, and then people would have moved, and the postcard was coming back. The internet didn't exist. We would let them know we were having a cassette release party. I mean, I go back far. I'm starting to sound like an old man, and I'm not, you know, I'm 57. I'll be 58 in February, and I'm getting up there. And the more I do this, the more I think, God, I've been through all these different things where I remember when 8-tracks came out. I remember only having vinyl records. Then 8-tracks we thought were cool, and then a cassette came out, and then the CD, we had to rebuy all our music. And now you can listen to anything you want for free on the internet. It's all there.
Yeah, it is. I always laugh when people tell you, oh, cassettes are coming back. It's like I say, well, you obviously weren't there the first time.
Yeah.
Let's play that song just now. This is Steve Poltz with Mother Russia from the album Folk Singer. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk North Conference, and I'm Jan Hall.
Mother Russia, where have you been? I've been walking kind of tender on needles and pins, and my life is full of trouble, but I still get by. I steal enough to feed me, but I never tell a lie. I won't stop until I'm done, and my cup is full. I need non-stop action, man. I hate it when it's dull. Hallelujah to your Jesus, and I'll raise you a saint. You're showing three Buddhas, and I'm feeling kind of faint. Had a job making pizzas, but I soon got fired for singing on the microphone and acting really wired. My boss said, son, you know we need dedicated pizza makers, but the only thing that you are is a drunk entertainer. So I hitched a ride to Reno in a tortilla truck. Only made it up to Davis till I ran out of luck. Got a job singing songs in a Russian pizza parlor. My parents always hoped that I would make it kind of farther. Hallelujah to your Jesus, and I'll raise you a saint. You're showing three Buddhas, and I'm feeling kind of faint. I make pizzas on the side when I ain't singing songs. I make amends on my days off. I try to right my wrongs, but there ain't a lot of time left on my ticking meter. You can call me Saint Steve, or you can just call me Peter. If you put your faith in me, I'll never do you wrong. But I can't be trusted, 'cause I'll put you in a song.
Mother Russia, Mother Russia, you're an epic sweeping novel. I want you back, baby, but I ain't too proud to grovel. If the lines on a face are a roadmap to the soul, then mine have been spun like a stripper on a pole. Mother Russia, Mother Russia, the skies are blue. I got a hunger in my heart and a naked love for you. Hallelujah to your Jesus, and I'll raise you a saint. You're showing three Buddhas and I'm feeling kind of faint. I'm feeling kind of faint.
That's Steve Poltz with Mother Russia from his album Folk Singer. We're at the Folk North Conference. Steve Poltz is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio. He's just chilling out. I think he has another gig tonight, and I know he will be back here at the conference because it's an export conference, an opportunity to perform in front of a lot of delegates from all over the world, chance to engage people with about your music. And I always think, with someone like Steve Poltz, it's like, I'm pretty sure that everybody must know who Steve Poltz is by now. What do you get out of something like this when you come to a conference like this?
Well, it kind of goes back to the question of, there's always somebody you're going to meet. Who am I going to meet? Or what sort of bond am I going to strike up with another musician? It just lets people know you're still alive, you're out there, and you're in the game, and you're willing to go travel to Istanbul to play a show. You're willing to go to India. You're willing to go wherever it takes, and something that sounds interesting and tickles your fancy. And so I really love seeing other people, and my mind gets opened up to different kinds of music, getting to reconnect with somebody like you and say hi, give friends a hug, and see where I might end up and plan my next couple years out.
And as we mentioned before, you work very, very hard. What is on the schedule for the next 6 months to a year? What are you up to? I think the last album, Folk Singer, is that 2015?
I think so, yeah. I have a record I just finished in Nashville that my friend Will Kimbrough produced, and I'm really looking forward to getting that out. I'm going to find a home for it. It's about to get mixed, and I'll put that out. I'm going on this cruise. I've never played a cruise ship. I'm playing a cruise called Kayamo. In February.
It's a fabulous cruise. I wish I could be there. Yeah, you're a perfect fit for Kayamo.
That's what people have been telling me. I'm doing it with John Prine and Richard Thompson and Patty Griffin and Brandi Carlile. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'll get to play a lot of shows.
Well, you know, one of the things you love, having been on Kayamo before, I have lots of Kayamo stories, but one of the things about it is that because you love meeting people, I know when I was talking to Liz Scott and she was saying, you know, one of the best things with working with Steve is that when he does a festival, he doesn't just go play his shows. He hangs out with the audience, he engages. And Kayamo, I mean, basically is a festival and a cruise ship. It's just the best week of your life, I would say.
I'm really excited about it. I've wanted to play Kayamo for years, and it never was able to work out. And this year, it's working out. And so I get to do that. Prior to that, I'm going down to play a Tropic of Cancer Festival in Todos Santos, Mexico. I did it last year. I usually do this thing called 30A Songwriters Festival. I have to miss that because I'm going to do Calgary Block Heater. That's going to be neat. And then I'm going to Australia and I'm doing Port Fairy Folk Festival and Nanup Folk Festival, the National Folk Festival, and Blue Mountains Folk Festival, and I think Adelaide Fringe, and then a bunch of shows. I'm playing people's houses, bars. I'll do probably 30 shows in Australia and be there 5 weeks, come back home. And then this summer I get to play High Sierra Music Festival. I'm going to be doing Merle Fest coming up, and there's all kinds of cool shows, like from houses to festivals to bars.
So what would be the one piece of advice you'd give someone who's starting out in music? You know, they've got their albums together, they're getting out and touring. I mean, what is the thing that bit of advice you would give to someone about surviving life on the road?
Well, when I first met Jewel, I told her, I think for you, my advice to you is find a bar or a coffee house that you can play every Thursday night or every Friday night. And for some reason, I thought Thursday was a good idea for her. I don't know why, it just came to me. And I thought, play there every Thursday night for a year a residency and you will have a huge following. Because she wanted to know, how can I get a following like the Rugburns have? And I said, for some reason, I just think for somebody like you, Jewel, you're writing so many songs right now and you will really be able to work on who you are. And you'll be playing in front of these live audiences and hand out flyers, let people know you're playing there. But make that room your room. And it'll always be known as those special days. And sure enough, after a year, she was getting offered record deals and all kinds of stuff. So I would tell somebody, play as much as you can, get your 10,000 hours in, and do it because you want to do it. Don't do it to become famous. Do it because you have to do it. You got to be a lifer. You know, some people don't understand that. They just want like the quick path. And I don't have any advice for people like that. Not that I think that's bad. It's not the way that I've done it. And so you really got to, it's a craft. You know, you're like a plumber and you got to stick with that skill that you have and keep going after it. And you can't stop. You have to be relentless. You know, go to the school of Bruce Springsteen or somebody and really learn your craft and learn how to play for an audience and take them on a journey.
And if people come to a Steve Pult show, what can they expect?
My hope is that people are going to come up afterwards and say, when are you playing here again? Because that means I did my job. And they say, I want to bring some friends to see you. That's like the best compliment. More than, we loved your show. It's like, when are you coming back? I have these friends that have to see you. And then that makes me smile. And I think, well, hopefully I'll be back in 6 months.
Now, do you often play with a band now? Usually, I mean, on the road, you're solo.
No, always solo.
Yeah.
I never play with a band. It's just me. Festivals or anything big, it's like with no safety net underneath, just come out and do what it is I do.
What is it like that last couple of minutes before you come out? Like you've got a main stage at a big festival. I mean, do you get in the zone before you go out?
You know, I can either sit in a room. I don't have any set thing. It's the way I ended up moving to Nashville. I could be sitting in a room and play guitar and get really vibed out, warm up my voice, or I could talk to somebody side stage about baseball. And this just happened to me at Port Fairy Folk Festival a couple years ago in Australia. I was on this huge stage, 5,000 people, and I was talking to somebody about baseball. And the person that was announcing me was like, you got to go on stage right now. And I go, oh, right now. And I said, so anyways, so the guy was up to bat. And what happened was he was for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they were going, seriously, right now. I go, you got to hit. And I just walked out on stage. I have no clue what I'm opening with. And it was one of the funnest shows because I just was there and I didn't have time to think about it. So usually I just go out and hope that I'm going to convert this crowd and people are going to smile and they're going to feel like they saw something real.
And they're going to come up to you and say, when are you coming back?
Hopefully,
that's
yeah.
Great. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. The new album, 2018, probably?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. We're going to dip back into Folk Singer. We're going to play the title track.
Oh, great.
Why did you want to play that?
I think that a lot of people can relate to this song. And I'm at a folk conference. And in it, there's a litany of things I list. And it's all the stuff that is bad that has happened to me on the road. From showing up, my name's not on the bill. Somebody else is on stage, to my guitar being lost, to the bartender giving me 2 drink tickets, to being paid only $37 at the end of the night because I didn't have enough people come in, to giving more CDs away than I sold, to the radio, doing a radio interview to promote the show that night, and the guy saying, oh, this isn't going to run till next week. This is a taped show for next week.
There's anything wrong with it.
No.
It happens.
No, it's just like you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you wake up early. They go, you got to do this show. It's really good. You go in and they go, and you think, man, this is great. I'm going to sell some tickets for tonight. They have a big following. And then you're mentioning the show that night. And they go, well, actually, this isn't going to run until next week. And you're going to be gone by then. And you're just thinking, oh my gosh. But you just keep smiling. And that's what the song's about.
Yeah, keep smiling and keep in the moment. It's an absolute pleasure, Steve Pults, to be
you
able to
too,
talk to
Jen
you today.
Hall.
Steve Pults with the title track from the album Folk Singer. Enjoy this song and definitely check him out online. And that's Pults.com?
Yes.
Pults.com for Steve Pults. And remember, friend him on Facebook.
Yes.
He writes some wonderful stories.
Cool. Nazdorovia.
Thanks very much. Steve Pults on Folk Roots Radio at Folk North. And this is Folk Singer.
Ciao.
Hey. Everything in this song has happened to me. It's all true.
You'd be pissing in a bottle and you can't see through the fog. You know a trucker jackknifed in the snow up ahead for show. The raid, I got you clocked at 87 and a 55. Cops all want to search your car because they think you're high. Finally reached the club and they got no posters up. Played to 12 people, half a puking in a cup. Sell two CDs, give another six away. You're hoping that somebody has a place where you could stay. You got a 10-hour drive in the morning, don't sweat it. Keep thinking about the gig last night, you wish you could forget it. Listen to a podcast, a radio lab. Try to call your mom but end up yelling at your dad. Car needs gas, so you're pulling to the come and go. The weather channel says that you're about to hit some snow. Sell five CDs, give another eight away to add insult to injury you had to pay to play. You're a folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for folk singer. You're a folk singer for Sean. The club owner says you should have played here last week, cause right now it's finals and no one makes a peep. He wishes that the money could have been a lot more, but the deal was only for a small percentage of the door. $27 and a couple foreign bills. Tried to pass the hat, but everyone was high on pills. Play a new song, no applause, just crickets. Bartender says he'll give you two drink tickets. You're a folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for folk singer. You're a folk singer for Sean. You get a big break and get to do some radio, but the DJ says it's taped for next week's show. Does you no good, cuz tonight you got the gig, but you keep on smiling and dance a little jig. Car starts whining and the engine's running hot. Gas station dude says your radiator's shot. Sell 12 CDs, give none away, but the radiator took it all, it's Groundhog Day. You're a folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for folk singer. You're a folk singer for Sean. You get a good offer for a gig in Atlanta, but the airline sends your guitar all the way to Montana. Finally get a real person on the phone from United. Lose your cool and tell the dude to go bite it. Borrow a guitar to try to cool your rage. Walk into the club and someone else is on stage. Sell no CDs cause the club was double booked. You never even got to play, you feel your life is overlooked. Folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for folk singer. You're a folk singer for sure. Finally get some sleep and there's a nice blue sky, and the airlines found your guitar all the way in Dubai. They say that it'll be there for your gig in Tallahassee, but you ate some bad food, feeling kinda gassy. Get a Motel 6, wish it was the Ritz. At least you got a private place because you got the shits. Sell five hats and two CDs. Yes sir, no ma'am, thank you please. You're a folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for a folk singer. You're a folk singer for Sean. Your manager calls you right before you play your show and says, I think that you should dye your hair because it's white as snow. Girlfriend calls you right as you leave the stage. She saw a picture of you with the chick, now she's in a rage. Break up, break down, break it all to hell. Charging all the damage to your hotel bill. Sell five stickers for 50 cents. You're a folk singer, now you're about to make a dent. You're a folk singer, folk singer. You're a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for a folk singer. You're a folk singer for Sean. Finally get some good news from the booking agent dude. At the club tonight they'll give you half off on your food. Place is packed and you're gonna make your fee. They wouldn't even turn off the sports TV. Feel like you climbed another rung on the ladder. You're another day older, another day fatter. I'm a folk singer now in the pale moonlight. That's how I'm standing on stage right here tonight. I'm a folk singer, folk singer. I'm a washed up punk, still a dead ringer for folk singer. I'm a folk singer for Sean. I'm a folk singer, I'm a folk singer. I'm a washed up punk, still a dead ringer. I'm a folk singer, I'm a folk singer for Sean. I'm a folkity folker, I'm a Bram Stoker joker. I'm a vampire smoker, I'm a motherfolkin' folker today.